Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 14th of December, 2021.
Yeah, you know, it's a shortened month. We have next week, there is a break on Friday. There's no school, no markets on next Friday. However, a lot of people think that because we're entering into the New Year's time period, that on New Year's Eve, markets may be cut short. Fact is that under no circumstances ever is the market closed or short trading hours on the 31st of December. There's no way they would do that. Because
who's saying they would?
A lot of people think that's kind of a holiday, right? You should get a half a day, but you don't. No. And there's a reason. The reason is that you need that full day to make sure that you have whatever trades that you had to get done, done. Now, God forbid somebody does it the day before and plans.
On the 30th.
Yeah. Just make sure you
get done what you need to get done. It's like my wife running the market. You know?
So
what time is it? Oh, it's 12. Well, what time do we have to be there? We have to be there at 12.
Right.
Well, we should have left a half an hour ago. We'll get there.
Right.
It's already 12:10. How are we going to get there?
I have a certain set of friends. You say, you know, what time are we meeting tonight? 7. They think 7 is when they should be leaving their house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, we have a lot going on. We have a Fed meeting coming up tomorrow. Some of the warm-up items. We have the horses can smell the barn coming into the end of the year, and everybody's all a flutter about getting things done, closing the books, making sure everything balances out right. Also, saves whatever they can for making sure that they get their year-end bonuses with a good run for December, if possible. All eyes and money have been on Apple, too. That's a big thing that's been really holding up markets lately. And if you look at what's going on underneath, we have some fascinating charts to go over tonight that shows you exactly what's happening. If you remember, I brought up this theory, this concept of a sinkhole, or skating on thin ice, if you will, whereas underneath there's a river flowing and the street is the only thing, the asphalt is holding up, but you crack that asphalt, you got big trouble. So it's still big trouble, but we'll just go over some of that with all the sloppy trading that's happening. Announcing the Time Person of the Year this year and Motor Trend's Truck of the Year, all in this week. Inflation, as Joan Rivers would say, can we talk? There's some real inflation going on. It's not like, a little bit over. It's substantial. And a couple of different charts on that as well that are pretty fascinating. All the charts, all the things that you want to look at are over on the website, the show notes, dhunplugged.com. This is episode number 585. For all of you listening on the stream, if you want to hop on over to the chat room, you can do so by going over to DH Unplugged right now. Chat room is open, and you can spend some time with us. What else? Last week, big move. Big move last week. S&P up 3.8% for the week after dumping the week before. We got COVID headlines again, very confusing. Got Pfizer efficacy in the Israeli booster and with the booster, without the booster. But it seems what's fascinating, which you're covering on No Agenda, but it looks like Pfizer really wants to get that pill out there.
Yeah, something they can pick up the slack when they're people figure out the shot's ineffective. The Israeli study showed that the people with natural immunity are still leading the way for resistance to anything. And the people with natural immunity who got a shot, the shot was just a waste of money, according to these people. That would be you.
That would be me. Yeah. But I didn't pay for it.
No, but I did.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
I paid for it.
The Triple B plan, the Build Back Better, plan. Manchin's still unhappy. He says, why are we quoting this all in the temporary money that's going to be spent when a lot of the stuff is going to be permanent? Shouldn't we look at the total cost of this? Because what they do is they say something like this. It would be like me, John, you and I going out and we're buying a house. And we say, well, how much is that house? Well, look, the mortgage is $2,000 a month. Uh-huh. So if we look at the house on a one-year basis, it's only $24,000. Pretty good deal, right, for that house?
Yeah, it's a steal.
That's kind of how they're quoting the Build Back Better plan.
Yeah, I know. This is something of a scam.
You know, well, some things will
they're
be
permanent. They're setting a bunch of programs saying, well, if they ended. Which they never do, mm-hmm. and they never will.
Yeah.
But if they ended, yeah, it would only cost this much. But what's the point of setting up these systems if you're going to end them? What's the point? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So he's unhappy. There's still the 1.5% share buyback tax in there. And a lot of talk about how this is a deflationary bill with some very confusing logic on how
now, the fact- logic is no good. Nobody buys this, any of these.
Logic's not except, the right
I
word.
Mean, a bunch of dumb Democrats do, but generally speaking, nobody's believing
I don't
it.
Understand how you could start talking about pouring money into the system. There is a couple of things that were of interest. There was like, hey, if we do pay for all this childcare, a lot of people, women, they say women, but a lot of head of households that are staying at home, whether it's a man or woman, can go back to work if they pay for daycare, and that is deflationary. I'm like, okay. I really don't understand how this is possible, but okay.
So they claim it's deflationary.
Yeah. What'd I say, inflationary?
You said inflationary.
No, it's deflationary. If a lot of people go back to work and more wages and more people can buy more things and free up that, it's deflationary somehow. I don't understand. I'm just going to chalk it up that I'm either stupid or, you know, they're stupid. Crypto finding some legs, not supportive very much. Crypto segment coming up tonight and a huge Fed rate decision this week tomorrow. And markets are very skittish on this. Now, I want to talk about a couple of things.
What do you think is going to happen?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
It seems after the number that we saw today, which was the PPI number, which we're going to talk about in a minute, which was enormous, it was record-breaking. Historically record-breaking. The PPI, the wholesale, you know, the pre-consumer inflation where goods go to be assembled or manufactured or... you know, just at the level of wholesale and before they're finalized. So that was big. He's now nominated, so they're not going to take that away. And the problem is that I think the first thing they're going to do is have a hawkish tilt to their discussion, which I think markets are expecting, but not so much. He's talking about how he still has the need. This is all temporary. It's all supply chain related, supply side, which is BS. It doesn't matter if your price is going up for this reason or that reason, does it matter? It's just price is going up, right?
It seems so.
I mean, do we have to say that it's okay if it's supply side and it's going to fix itself? And if it's not, I don't really.
I could buy into this argument if they could show me an example from a past market,
or how that solved,
or give. Yeah, I want to see an example of this theory of all these theories about how this isn't going to stick.
Nope, you're not going to get it.
No, because it's going to stick.
Right. It's not. Is the worst thing would happen would be deflation. They're not going to start moving on a deflation.
They're not going to let that happen.
They're not going to let that happen right now. So, especially
the Powell, we're stuck with it.
These guys, you know, the modern Fed official has no idea or desire to have an economy fall. The old guys, you know, they came with a stick in their hand, right? We're not letting inflation grow. That's how it used to be in Europe for years. We're not letting inflation go beyond a certain point. We don't want the economy to heat up too much, which is, you know, maybe that wasn't
targeting around 2.5%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, we're much higher than that. Much higher than that. You know, higher
Well, I'm looking at shadow stats. Their numbers the real numbers are up.
Right.
I don't know what the real numbers are, and they're kind of trying to change it. But all you have to do is just go to the store.
There's no question about that.
Doesn't take a genius to figure out
going up and all that. Yeah,
jacked up.
A couple of PSA and announcements and things I want to mention. First of all, I did learn the difference between prosciutto and speck today.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting.
Speck's high end.
Speck is basically prosciutto that's been smoked.
Right.
They smoke it daily for a number of days.
Costs a lot more. Yep. And a bunch of
I had a big Sunday night sauce night at the Castilla Horowitz. We made our own sausages. We made Italian sausages. We made hot and sweet. We made We made meatballs out of veal, pork, and beef. That was pretty amazing.
Well, that's a classic.
Oh, it was great. I made sauce for a while. I caught some fish this weekend, so I made a cereal mackerel two ways. I made a piccata, and I baked some off so those people that wanted plain. We made some shrimp scampi. It was a crazy night. Cheeses everywhere. The house, my house. You walk in my house right now, it smells like the streets of Little Italy. Still.
Smells like a real deli.
Yeah, it's great. PSA.
What was the reason for this again?
I there's a guy I know. His name is Jerry. And Jerry and I, every once in a while, get together and stuff some sausage. And I said, Jerry.
You have a sausage maker?
He has the sausage maker. I have the grinder. Or we both have it. But, you know, we use his hand crank stuffer. You know, the one that pushed it out. Which
what
is
kind of skin you use?
We used natural casing, pig.
What kind? Pig?
Yeah, pig.
Have you ever tried sheep?
I have not. Isn't that what they make condoms out of?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's why I haven't.
They get the sheep is different.
Yeah. These came out great. These were good. We got with some really spicy ones, and we had some.
Well, then you should work on making a banger.
Oh, yeah, I could do that. I can make a banger. Why is it? It's just the recipe of the of what you put into the meat.
No, I agree with that, but most people don't do bangers correctly because you need rusk.
What is that?
It's kind of like breadcrumbs.
Oh.
Hmm. And lots of them.
Really?
It's almost a bread sausage.
It's like a derma.
It's an illegal sausage in this. I mean, the rules about using bread in the sausage is since the 20s or something, when people were abusing the privilege, the government cracked down on it. You can't really put as much rusk into a banger that you really need to get that right flavor that they have in England.
Who makes these rules?
Sorry?
Who makes these rules? It's like a sausage patrol, the sausage police.
Oh, they're always making, they got nothing else to do. It's protecting the public.
Is there a governmental division that really focuses it on sausages and hot dogs?
I think
and
it was the USDA who came up with these rules.
Really?
Saying you can't do this, you can't do that. No, you can't put that much bread in because you're jipping people.
Oh, that could be.
Even though when the true banger has to have a lot of bread in it. Huh. Rusk.
Right. The old banger and mash. One day you and I are going to get together and cook a little something. One day. It was a wonderful evening. And then I went to a store that...
It would just be grousing about stuff.
Yeah, well...
You ever see Jack Papin? Jack Papin cook with his old buddy, his old French buddy on TV. They put the two of them on there and they go on. They go back and forth. They go back and forth grousing.
Yeah.
There's so much butter. Why use a little more butter?
We should do it as a podcast. Listen, I have a podcast. I've saved since the day I met you. I have a URL called the Pod Snobs.
No,
the Pod Couple. The Pod Couple. That's what it is.
Okay. A good name.
I have the podcouple.com.
Yeah, keep that.
Kind of funny. Another note, no agenda. Some really great content I mentioned earlier about helping with all your milk needs this week. Water Buffalo Milk, where John supposedly says that buffalo mozzarella is made out of water buffalo milk.
Yeah.
Which would equate to then the offshoot that buffalo chicken wings are made out of buffaloes. Meat. Yeah. So you could buy that as well if you want.
Buffalo mozzarella is also, besides the good stuff being made with buffalo, water buffalo milk, which is a major world milk, it exhibits that white color that this milk does. This milk is so white.
Yeah. Yeah, you were mentioning that. It's ridiculous. It's like, it's blinding. That's pretty good. But do you like it? You said you like the taste. I don't know. Okay. Next time you get some, let me know. We got
to
do
to be honest about it, it's blander than you'd think.
Oh, I'm not a big milk fan. But anyway, Thursdays and Sundays, No Agenda with Adam Curry. And tomorrow, Wednesday, the 15th, 5 p.m., webinar. Register at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. I'm going to be talking about what happened and kind of a look back at 2021 and what are the themes to look at for 2022. So there you go. There's all our PSAs out and puke them out in the beginning. All right, so I'm going to read some things off to you. I want you to explain them to me because I'm stupid. Some things that are confusing me. The S&P traded towards the lows of the day amid concerns about the Omicron spreading in the UK. That was Monday morning.
Yeah, within the next 48 hours, it's supposed to be dominant.
Yep, it's supposed to be.
They've shut down the country. And Omicron doesn't kill anybody. One person supposedly died from it.
They shut down the company, but also
country
canceled all red country status. In other words, anybody can come and grow because they said, you know what? It's not stopping any of this crap from spreading, shutting down the borders. Seriously.
No, nothing's worked.
So that's first of all. That was Monday morning. Then last week we had this all excitement that, you know what, this Omicron thing, you know, it's just, it's a cold. That was last week's headline. Remember that? Nothing to worry about. Now we have the next day. Now the vaccine efficacy is reduced 70% for Pfizer on a double vaccine. So you definitely need a booster. And then the pill. What's going on here? Because a lot of this is affecting markets. Is there a bigger something? Is it just total lack of anything else to talk about again?
Well, I think there's a lot of elements at play. And I would also don't want people to ignore the gambling market. Because a bunch of people, athletes, have been taken off the scene because they've tested positive or something. It's very easy to rig a game by taking some athletes. And in fact, LeBron James was taken out of the Lakers lineup because he tested positive for COVID. And he put it on his Twitter. He had, I've tested positive for COVID. And then he put a bunch of fishes as a little emoticon, little fishes, saying it's something fishy going on is what he tried to say there. And so he was taken out. And so you can come back if you test negative twice in a row, which means like two tests. He took eight more tests to test negative every single time to make it clear. He overdid it, in other words, to make it clear that something was fishy about that first result. And I think gambling interests are involved. I've said this from the beginning.
Aha. So this is the old kneecap in a very quiet way that can be done semi-legally and everybody buys into. Whereas the bets are in or getting close, a lot of money's on the game, and then you take out your star player.
Yeah. Pretty slick.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that, especially due to the fact that we talked about markets with the same thing where, you know, Russia says something about the oil market, they're probably short or long.
Yeah.
And
you do the same thing.
So this whole thing is one big, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm so sick of it. All right. Let's talk about something that's really here. Because that stuff is, there's so much speculation and weirdness about the whole discussion. There's just there's five ways of looking at things. So let's just look at facts. And we're talking about holding on, taking a look at the November price index, the producer price index called the PPI, which again is the wholesale inventory number that shows a amount of money on a month over month and year over year basis increased 0.8% month over month. That doesn't sound like a lot. That's not a big deal. But if you take out food and energy, it increased 0.7%. Now, year over year is what we look at. Like, what happened? Okay, how are we dealing with the year over year? Because 1 month can be an aberration. What's the average? How are we doing? So here's the number. On an unadjusted basis, it's 9.6%. 9.6%, which is the highest increase on record on a year-over-year basis for PPI.
Does that even go back into the 70s?
It must, because they're talking about on record. So I don't know unless they changed what the record books look at.
Well, they do change their calculations, so you never know what's going on.
Right. Now, there's a couple of charts
here. Yeah, I know you have a chart here, the PPI one, and it's ludicrous. And you can actually see where Joe Biden got elected. And it took straight up.
I can't, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about this whole idea that, you know, it's Biden's fault. And then, you know.
I'm not saying it's Biden's fault. It's noteworthy that when he got elected, it took straight up.
Yeah. But the point is that it takes a while for this stuff to really happen. It doesn't happen overnight. But yes, some of the things they did with the excess spending definitely didn't help by no means. But it's a combination of a lot of things. Then look at this next chart, the final demand PPI year over year, goods and services. Goods up 14% year over year.
Yeah, it's high.
Services only up 6%, which means if you think about it, services.
Yeah, but service is high too.
Service is very high. It's up 6% year over year, but unbelievable. And even though it dropped off in April 2020, we're going back to October 2020 where it kind of came up already, you know, where it came back. And these are absurd numbers. Now, here's my point, and I think that it's really important to flush this out. There's lies, there's damned lies, and the Fed. Because only one of two things can be true in my opinion here, and that is this. It's very simple. Either this entire time over the last year and a half, let's say May 2020, right? So we had the COVID shutdown, we had the COVID, okay, maybe we'll open a little bit, but then the Fed stepped in hard, right? And they started talking about all this, and they started talking about, you know, the fact that we have to get the economy going and low interest rates forever, and we're going to, for some reason they put 2023 in there, and even though we saw all the stimulus come in, okay. And then we kind of fast forward a little bit to the end of 2020, and we started to see some tick ups in inflation, and things were looking a little weird, and the Fed was still, no, it's transitory, transitory, transitory. So either one of two things can be true here. One, the Fed was lying the entire time about inflation to keep the markets happy, to manipulate the numbers so that they can continue to keep interest rates low and excess amount of bond buying on a regular basis, be it the corporate bonds, the treasuries, or the mortgage bonds. And, you know, right now we went from $4 trillion on the balance sheet of the Fed to like $9 trillion, okay? So that's one. Either one of two things could be true. The Fed was lying about their inflation outlook to keep the markets happy. Two, the Fed was truthful, and that confirms that they have no ability to forecast. They're stupid. They can't be trusted. And they have a total disconnect between reality and the future. And if they happen to be right, it just is a miracle. So what do you think?
Well, you come to the conclusion based on your notes that either way they can't be trusted.
Right.
So they're either lying, that means you can't trust them, or they're telling the truth from their perspective, but they're so incompetent that you can't trust them that for that reason either. So there's no third alternative. So obviously they can't be trusted. And this is now we have to face reality that this is an issue.
So is there a third option, or am I totally being, am I being so short-sighted? I have blinders on somehow that I think, you know, that there's something else that I missed or I couldn't see it. Is there a third possibility here?
I'm as you say that, I have been thinking, looking for a third possibility based on the two that you've presented, and I can't come up with one.
It just doesn't seem, something is off on this whole thing. You know, it seems to me that...
Well, here's another question.
How come everybody else saw it but them? I don't understand it. I don't understand.
I think... How about the third one being that... Well, there is no third one, really. I mean, I can maybe manipulate the line where they were manipulating the market, but... And they weren't really lying. They were couching things in a way that... You know, you could interpret it any way you want. I don't know. I don't.
How about this? I'll give you a third one way outside. They were being truthful, and it's what they believed. They were just, this is a different situation than usual. And their traditional metrics and models were unable to properly capture the information, which then leads us back to number two again, by the way.
I actually would believe that one makes the most sense, because all throughout time, including going back to Bernanke and the 2007, 2008, 2009 debacle that really brought the economy to its knees, he was unaware what the hell was going on. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go back to the 2000 debacle when the market was all screwed up and it was like there's been a number of these. And every
go back
time
to the 80s. Come on, I'll give you the 80s, late 80s, when you know you're lending too much money, too much leverage, and they didn't see what was going on then.
Stagflation. Let's go back to the 70s with the stagflation situation. They didn't know what the hell. They don't know what's going on. That's part of they're sincere in their efforts. Okay, that's the third option.
It's part of their charm.
They're sincere in their efforts, even though they can't do it. This job is impossible.
So, you know, it's interesting because if you think about just for a moment, if we just kind of take every other scenario off the table in terms of historical reference to what the Fed has done and what they've seen. And you just take one. Just take the housing crisis and the financial collapse time in 2008-2009. And it was very clear to everyone that people were buying houses, then using their houses as ATMs and leveraging up. And the strippers and the bartenders and the people and the taxi drivers, the people who couldn't afford houses, were buying two and three houses, leveraging them up. And the housing prices kept going up and up and up. Then, on top of it, they have oversight directly of the banks, knowing that they were packaging. We all knew this. I knew this. I'm not that smart of a guy in terms of having an inside edge on all this. But it was very clear. We knew from not only news reports, but also from the products that were coming out, that they were all packaged and they were putting these mortgages all together, putting this crap in a wrapper and selling it off. And people were buying it like crazy. Everybody knew it but the Fed. So, you know, it's kind of...
Yeah, that doesn't make it... Yeah, and which makes no sense. It's a bunch of banks. They're all... It's not just one guy. It's a team of people. And so they had to know it because they were doing it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. That just tells us right there. That's what soured me on the Fed. That whole... And it wasn't just the head. It wasn't just the people at that time. It was the... It was just the... And if you remember back when Alan Greenspan, I was always fascinated. I tell you this all the time. I was always fascinated by his gibberish that he would say, the way that he would explain his policy and his stand, and everybody would have to decipher it. And I realized at that point that no human being purposefully tries to speak like this and explain things that is so twisted. So something else is going on. They're obviously having fun utilizing the markets like marionettes, puppets.
Well, now the question remains, which is the bigger question. If they actually, since they do have to take action, you can't have things continue going in this direction because it's just going to ruin everything. But if they do take action, which seems to spook the market, and the market gets spooked and they take a look at these numbers that you have in your PPI charts, are we looking for a bruising here?
I mean, we have a couple of charts coming up that there is a lot of bruising that's going on already. And really what's holding up the market, something that we've talked about, was the Apple, Microsofts, Netflix to a degree. The Teslas. Tesla finally cracked recently. Microsoft was down 3%, I think, today. Apple hit almost towards within, I don't know, 30 or 40 cents of its $3 trillion market cap and then fell down a bit. But these guys are way up still. If you look at the last month or so, you know, these big cap names are attracting huge amount of money. And I was watching this every day saying, what is the deal here? Just hold on to that thought, because there's some charts coming up that I want to talk about that are unbelievable in terms of where the rest of the market is compared to the indices themselves, which are like NASDAQ's down about 5% from its high. S&P's down like 2. I think it hit an all-time high like Monday. Maybe Friday. Monday or Friday. Hit an all-time high. And, you know, then we start going, but these things happen so fast. It's not like it's like, oh, this, wow, it's been a rough month. It's like 4 days and they get just shellacking. So that's why you'll see our list later. This is really thin or thinned out.
Yeah, well, it happens.
All right, let's talk about Robinhood stock. I just wanted to show you this.
This is funny. This
ridiculous chart. IPO'd, came out on the market, blasted out of the gate. First trade, $35. A couple days later, went up to $85. And currently trading at, what is it now, 19?
Yeah.
19. So kind of looks like they robbed from the poor and gave it to the rich with this failed IPO, is my opinion here.
Yeah, looks like another. It might be a good short at 19.
Yeah, maybe. There's all sorts of problems there. Elon Musk is thinking of leaving his job and becoming a full-time influencer.
He is a full-time influencer.
I think there was some other controversy regarding sexual harassment at Tesla, and I think this came out right alongside of that to try to maybe take the spotlight away from the other stuff. You know, it's like a child. You know, a child tries to, you know, is getting getting some kind of a talking to by their parent, and steps into the conversation and says, but did you see what Johnny did? Well, the parent's like, what did Johnny do? Oh my God, it was horrible. What happened? And they forget about what they were. That's what he's doing. He's just a little bit of persuasion to look elsewhere.
Yeah, look over there.
It's like an illusionist. So he said in a tweet, it would be nice to have a bit more free time on my hands as opposed to just working day and night from when I wake up and when I go to sleep. 7 days a week. It's pretty intense. The guy that's worth $250 billion.
Yeah, I know. See,
poor freaking guy. Fella. Huh. 7 days a week from morning till night. I got to tell you something. He should unionize himself. Maybe he'll only have to work 5 days a week. Maybe he'll give up $200 billion, just maybe be a $50 billion heir and work 5 days a week, 4 days a week, But he just announced, he was announced this week, officially, he is Time's Person of the Year. Who was last year? Like Greta Thunberg?
Maybe.
And didn't we have
Time Magazine's not even a magazine anymore. It's not even worth considering who cares what they do.
Didn't they put like a Pac-Man on there or something, or some kind of didn't they have like whatever. Okay. In an odd twist of the above now, Motor Trend announced the all-electric Rivian as the publication's 2022 truck of the year, beating out other pickups from Ford, General Motors, and Hyundai. Well, that's a pickup, and of course, I guess
Where can I go get my Rivian?
Good luck. Stand in line. You could do it. Actually, some people that I know did it, and they were offered, I think it was like $7,000 worth of IPO stock that you could buy if you had a reservation to buy one of these, and that stock opened up really nice. Mm. They called it the first mass-produced electric truck, the most remarkable pickup truck we've ever driven. They said that it excelled in every one of its six key criteria. Safety, efficiency, value advancement in design, engineering excellence, and performance of intended function. Performance of intended function. Other finalists were the Ford Maverick, the GMC Hummer EV, and the Hyundai Santa Cruz. I have a friend getting it, so once he gets it, I'll hop in and check it out.
Yeah, to give it a drive.
Battery board.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. This was Fox News anchor Chris Wallace abruptly announced on Sunday that he's leaving the network after 18 years. Did you see this?
Yeah, effective immediately. He
Bye.
Stopped working.
See ya. Gotta go.
Yeah, gotta go. Bye.
The host of the flagship Fox News Sunday said he was ready for a change. I want to try something new. I want to go beyond politics to all the things I'm interested in. I'm ready for a new adventure. I mean, I've seen this guy, but Chris Wallace, what is he interested in? He said that he will provide additional details on his new endeavor, but he hoped fans would be checking out. He's going to CNN. That's weird.
Well, something's going on with CNN. We've talked about it on the No Agenda show. We'll probably talk about it more. Since it's being bought by, for all practical purposes, John Malone. And Malone is... I think he's going to fire everybody.
Oh.
I think he's going to get rid of everybody, but he's not going to do. We're going to talk about it in detail in the
All right, agenda. Well, listen,
show,
no
but,
agenda
but I
show.
Believe that there's heads are going to roll, and Wallace is probably find a nice spot over there as a more neutral style of reporter than the Democrats. Malone, we have to remember, is a Republican. He calls himself a libertarian, but if you start looking into it, which I did, guy's got an unbelievable background in education, and he's 80. But he dropped $250,000 into the Trump inauguration, which is nothing that a Democrat's going to do. And so everybody on CNN has to know that their days are numbered if they're partisan.
Wolf Blitzer. I can tell
out.
You. Let me tell you something about Wolf Blitzer. I remember during, one of the Trump things that went on. I watched a clip of him say, is that impeachment? Is he going to be impeached? Can that be an impeachment level offense? Impeach. Is he going to be impeached? Do you think that they'll call on an impeachment? I'm like, dude, chill out. You know what I'm saying? So all he was talking about was You know, and he was all like lathered up about the thought of it being maybe an impeachment. Yeah. Let's go to Turkey, shall we? Let's go to Turkey. Turkish lira crashed as much as 7% this week in just a few minutes on Monday overnight to a near record low 15 to the dollar by worries that President Erdogan is risking a new economic policy and prospects for another interest rate cut. So he thinks somehow that if you cut rates, it actually douses inflation, which is running at like 20% per year.
I don't know what he's up to. Yeah. There's something, this story needs.
He's been doing this for a while. He keeps on firing people. He keeps on letting go the economic ministers.
He's going to have a big issue. He's going to be out. It's the end of him.
Maybe. I mean, a lot of people are right now. There's a big article that came out tonight about people snapping up properties in Turkey because the lira is
probably a good idea.
Yeah, because you could go buy something at the bazaar, maybe. Greatest.
Rugs at a discount.
Yeah, still the greatest airport I've ever been to for the time I was there.
It's one of the best airports I've ever been to, I have to say.
Turkish.
Very, very pretty.
Turkish stock market ETF is TUR is the symbol. If, in fact, this Turkish lira, which has dropped, you know, hugely over the last several months, can actually do well and still have that inflation factor. All right. Social robots. Social robots. This is something I think you need to get. The Amazon Astro. Have you seen this thing?
No.
It looks like a little dog that has a...
Like the Sony dog or whoever did that little dog?
Yeah, a little bit bigger, I think. It has ability to carry things and cart things to a degree. It has like a screen for a face. And it has like a moving security camera. It has Ring capabilities, camera remote alerts, things of that nature. The ads talked about the ability of social robots basically being designed to engage with people more on as a collaborative partner, which I don't even know what that means, as opposed to a tool that you use. So you interact more in an interpersonal way to achieve tasks or goals or experiences. All I can think about is Sleeper. You know that scene from Sleeper?
Yeah, Sleeper.
With him shuffling around and passing the orb around and getting high on the orb, right?
Yeah. So and they're having the heads pulled off of the robot.
So there's more here, though, that I got to explore because I don't know where this is going. And this scares the crap out of me. They talk about, you know, people want to have longer, more meaningful, more interesting conversations with these technologies.
Not me.
You say there's things as a hunger and a desire for people to be able to interact.
No, there's not.
I mean, I don't understand.
Somebody's going to do the right thing and build a robot that's going to kick ass and everyone's going to want one. But this isn't it. The original go-around of robots was around the early 80s when, if you remember, Nolan Bushnell's company, Androbot, which was the beer-grabbing robot that you could get. There was a big display at CES of this thing, and it was like, it would get you a beer.
That's got some value.
And it did that, and it didn't do anything else. And it could be programmed to do stuff, but it couldn't do much. And it was going to be the year of the robot. And there was no year of the robot. So this looks like just a repeat of the same.
The problem is you want something brought to you, right? You have to actually put it on the robot. So you got to go to the refrigerator, put a beer on the robot, then sit back in your chair, and it will bring it over to you.
Understand. The way they did the beer robot back in the 80s was, I think it's around 82. They had a special device you had to have in your refrigerator, which was a kind of a chute. So the robot would come up to open the refrigerator, bump the chute, and a beer would roll down and land into a little receptacle at the robot hand. And then the robot would go back and give it to you.
Ridiculous.
I mean, come on, just get up and get a beer.
Get your fat ass out of the chair. Go get yourself a beer and some chips. That's all. Or move yourself closer, you know, maybe have one of those, maybe put a TV embedded in your refrigerator, for God's sakes, if it's that important to you to be that close. Let's talk about this one chart that I think is one of the most amazing things. And I'm telling you, you have to go look at this chart over on episode 585. Show notes, dhunplug.com. One chart says it all. It's the average NASDAQ stock. The average stock in the NASDAQ composite is now 39% below its 52-week high, even though the index is only, like I said, 3 or 4% or 5% below its high. Look at this amazing chart. Thanks, a hat tip to Bespoke, by the way. If you look at all these, and even if you center on the S&P 500, which has less technology per se, the S&P 500, the average stock is 11%, almost 12% under its 52-week high. Not in quote-unquote bear territory, but that's correction territory. Well, the index is only about just about a half a percent or 1% below its high. So do you see the pattern here?
Yeah, I do see the pattern.
And this is all telling of what's going on, which is I've seen this before. I've been kvetching about this for weeks and weeks about there is something going on here. Now, the problem is betting against it is stupid because the indices aren't really getting cracked, right?
No, and what it's really telling you should bet against tech.
You should bet against tech, certain tech that's not the big names. That's what really got hit. The cloud players, that got hit. And it happened very quickly. You know, here's the problem, though. The problem with shorting stocks right now has been the same problem we've seen for a while. Excess liquidity in the markets. You have shorts. You have stocks that are going up and going crazy, and they're way out of control. And then what happens is that you short them, or you look to short them. You're making a couple of bucks on them. And then a week later, all of a sudden, it turns around and rips your face off 15% on the upside.
Yeah, because tech can move.
So, but if you had the wherewithal to hold it, which is tough because, you know, you could lose an unlimited amount of money. The fact is that these things came down and kept on making better moves on the downside, but it was very difficult because, again, the fact is that it was kind of a very spotty and very irregular moves. But this chart, I think, tells a story about what we're concerned about. If the big names don't hold for the indices, you have some problems. The other thing this says is there's another point here, John. There's some bargains out there. There's some names that I think have some opportunity and some bargains. So the opportunity is to look for some names that have really come off their highs that are quality, that have earnings, that are not just, you know, pie in the sky hopefuls, that, you know, maybe are starting to base out. Those will probably turn and start to do better before the rest of the markets. And what we'll see is potentially a rotation looking for value. I'm looking for value. I'm looking for this side of the market. So something to look at. Metaverse alert. Snoop Dogg is developing the Snoopverse. He found that an NFT collector spent a little under $500,000 for the privilege of becoming Snoop Dogg's next door neighbor in the metaverse. He's building a virtual world in the sandbox. He says, I'm always on the lookout for ways of connecting with my fans, which means fleecing them. And what we've created in the sandbox is the future of virtual hangouts, NFT drops, and exclusive concerts. So they're going to do some kind of concerts in the metaverse. This is getting a little weird, isn't it?
Yes, it's off the deep end. It's something I'm not really paying that much attention to because I don't take it that seriously.
Facebook,
but a lot of people are taking it seriously.
Well, Facebook is pushing it, and they announced the opening of the Horizon World, which competes with Roblox. Anyone over 18 could be in there. And Horizon World, users of Facebook's Oculus virtual reality headsets, which I played some ping pong on tonight, can create a legless, I don't know why it's legless, a legless avatar to wander in the animated virtual world. Then they can play games and interact with other users' avatars. Woo! Just another way to get money, I'm telling you. You want to play a game, you want to do this, you got to pay. So,
this is going to run out of steam because I think that things are going to tighten up.
I don't know. There's some money being spent, people buying and selling NFTs on various exchanges. And
yeah, we got to get Jay's NFTs going. Also, I want to talk to you. I'll talk to you offline about some other NFT things that seem to be, I think it's sketchy, but there's some interesting.
If you find a way to do it without any risk, in other words, instead of buying the NFTs, creating them, and if somebody likes them, it's pretty cool. So
can happen.
Infinite Worlds is going to be coming out. Symbol JPG, another metaverse infrastructure platform. Watch for that IPO. And then this, Nike just bought a virtual shoe company that makes NFTs and sneakers for the metaverse.
Now, oh, brother.
You need to think through that sentence, don't you? Nike just bought a virtual shoe company that makes NFTs and sneakers for the metaverse.
What'd they pay for this shoe company?
I'm sure it's going to be undisclosed.
It better be.
Yeah. And Hong Kong property tycoons, brokers are snapping up virtual land in the metaverse as valuations soar. Virtual land now, in some cases, are more expensive than actual real world land.
That's great.
It's so crazy, right?
That's crazy. It's just, this is the beginning of the end.
I hope one day that I'm everybody's like, oh, that Horowitz is so wrong. Look at this.
I'm rich. Well, you can say the same thing to anyone who bought a Bitcoin at 25 cents.
I suppose.
Now, but I will always say this. If you bought a Bitcoin at 25 cents, I think when it hit 400, you would have bailed out and sold all your Bitcoins.
$12, you would have sold it.
Probably. 12 bucks.
So unless
but to hang on to it till it's at $40,000, I don't know if anyone has that kind of nerves of steel.
Right. And if at that point, how many did you have? Did you have 500 of them? Because it didn't cost you that much. And then, you know, these days that you see a $500 or 1,000 point drop on it, that's big money.
Yeah. You know, so a lot of this is it's psychological and it's annoying.
Yep. We have a doomsday alert from Robert Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's once again warning of an impending crash followed by a depression. He expects several markets, including Bitcoin, to crash. He says, crash and depression coming. Gold, silver, Bitcoin, real estate will crash too. Ready to buy
gold's
more
gold. Gonna crash?
Gold, silver, Bitcoin, real estate?
Real estate?
And the markets.
Real estate already had a crash in 2000. Real estate crashes, I've studied this. Real estate crashes are always, they're second, they're not part of the stock market. When they crash on their own, which they can bring the stock market down like it did in 2008, 2009, or cause difficulty, but it's on its own cycle. And I just don't see real estate, if anything is going to crash, I'm not seeing real estate. I could see it making a correction because it's out of control, but crashing, no.
And then he's finishing off, time to get richer after the fake inflation crashes. The hell does that even mean, fake inflation?
What does that even mean?
His last prediction is, he said, Biden's soon going to be stepping down and Kamala Harris will become the first female president. And that was the plan all along. Trump ruined Hillary's ascension following Obama.
Yeah, well, we have to believe there's some truth to the theory, but nobody likes Kamala Harris. And I think they're trying to get rid of her, and then a lot of, you know, just get her to quit and bring somebody else on board and then let Biden retire. But they had to do all this before the 2022 midterms. I don't think they can get there in time.
No, I don't think so, especially because she hasn't been seen in public. Let's be honest. I mean, just she's not anywhere to be found. It's just not a good thing. You know, all the retail spaces, huge amounts of retail space available, like the malls, you know. There's 90 million square feet.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
90 million square feet available, 16 times the Mall of the Americas. So what these malls are doing now is they're looking now to rent to casinos, amusement parks, medical facilities, hotels, storage units, schools, offices, and residences. Can you imagine? You buy a Macy's? Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy the Macy's. I'll, you know, make it my house.
That's what they're doing up at one of the ones near us. They're gonna put in housing.
Oh, what? I mean, I could see in. Nice.
Yeah. Just take somebody with a lot of vision.
Why there? Do you want to be next to the Beefsteak Charlie's or something? Or what's the deal?
No, what they're. Hey, you're talking. I got nothing to do with it.
Mm. A couple of quick notes on crypto. Dave Ackerman sent this to us. Talking about the inflation rate hiking and hitting a 40-year high, the Bitcoin started moving up. The hash rate returned to an all-time high, which is really interesting, which recovered from June after the crackdown in China. So that's kind of interesting. The hash rate, in other words, the amount of mining that's going on. And many believe that the hash rate corresponds with the price action, suggesting that possibly we could see a near-term increase in price despite a gloomy sentiment. There was a big auction from Free Ross DAO, which is these DAOs are these consortiums that this decentralized autonomous organization is trying to buy paintings, trying to do this stuff. I think it's just like a crowd of bullies out there with coins that are trying to get together and, you know, move a price. Yeah. So, and finally in this segment, Tesla announced they will accept Dogecoin for payment of Tesla merchandise. You can buy hats and
hats,
maybe flamethrowers or whatever they have available, and the little mini charging stations for your phone, little Tesla Star charging stations and all that. So lots going on there. The Edge Unplugged, close to the pin. We have just a few more days. Let's see where we are. 14th. So I think the 17th, three more days. So anybody that won, you got emails, another reminder is going to come. You have till the 17th to put your price guess in. I think three people out of the six or seven put their price guess in. If you are not a winner of a close to the pin in 2021, don't bother putting your price in because I will delete it. We have a list of people. The developers know who they are, who won, and anybody that's not matched up does not get to participate. Now, already we had some people, some little cutie pies there, trying to put their price guesses in. But anyway, it's on the Dow Jones Industrial Average closing price of the year. So that's going to be kind of cool. Lots of fun prizes and gifts and things and autographs and all that's going out. Do you want to give a pitch for end-of-year donations if that would be helpful?
That reminds me. Yes, we'd like to get, especially for these trophies and some of the stuff. We do have costs, at server costs and some other things that need to be paid for. And we don't have I don't think our donations are, I mean, they're just saying to us, well, you know, your show's worthless or you're not, you know, you don't get that much out of this. So we do a lot of stuff. If you can't kind of get some value from listening to the two of us talk about some of this stuff with the kind of combined experience and the stock picks and some of the other things and the rationales, I think it's, I don't know what you're thinking. You should really contribute.
Yeah. I mean, if it's boring you to death and you're just falling asleep, I mean, just think about the sleep apnea test that you don't have to take. So something it's at least beneficial in that regard, right? Somehow. So just be in the holiday spirit. No Scrooges out there. Let's get it going.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
All right, let's get over to the game here. A lot of see how thin it is now compared to where it was, I mean?
Yeah, I got knocked back. It took a long time.
Yeah. Your Trump's back up 19%. You had a big move, a flush higher after you...
were kicked off through a zigzag.
Yeah. But still up 19%. That's good. WeWork was down. What else we got here? Live Nation up to 2.5%. That's your. Oh, no, that was kicked off the short. You know, unless somebody is going to come in and legislate a change, the price gouging, ticket surcharges, convenience charges, ticketing fees, online charge for, you know, because it's so hard.
No, it's horrible. That's probably what that guy who said the economy is going to, you know, crater because of one thing or another. A lot of this is part of that. I mean, when you see, for example, Toyota is now charging money.
$8 a month.
$8 a month for your key fob. So you can push the button and it will start the car remotely. That's a fee now.
Unbelievable. We talked about this. We talked about cars now being hooked up to the grid and having services like you want air conditioning? Okay, that's $4 a month.
Yeah, and in the $4 summer, a month for air conditioning.
And in that's the summer, exactly it's 12.
Right. Yeah, right, because it'd be one of those usage mm-hmm. demand pricing.
Right.
Demand pricing. You really need to use it now, so you have to pay more.
Right.
This is not the way to do things.
Right. You want to be able to use your seatbelts? Okay. That's fine. Now there's a problem. I think that was I can't believe it what I mean, for $8 a month, can you think they could have done something else to try to get this money? Because that was brutal.
No, and it's hackable. There's no way that this can't be fixed by some mechanic.
Terrible.
Although when you buy the car, I'm sure there's a EULA involved nowadays. This is where you don't want to buy new cars.
Yeah, we need to buy like an 80s Chevelle or something.
Well, that's what you do. 80s Chevelle.
The old AMC Pacer. Who cares if it's going to blow up?
You know, I had an AMC Pacer.
Did you?
Yeah, well, we got one for somebody. We got it for almost for free. I don't know how we ended up with it. But I have to say this. The only other person I know that had an AMC Pacer was Reggie Jackson.
Oh, really?
I was at a liquor store in Oakland right after that World Series where he hit the three home runs with mm-hmm. three different pitchers to three different, three home runs in one game. Mm-hmm. There comes Reggie Jackson driving a Pacer with two blondes.
How'd you get two blondes? One in the back seat?
Yeah, I think there was.
It was like the weirdest looking car. It was like a fishbowl.
It was, I'll tell you this, having owned one, and people and the ridicule involved in having owned one, it's one of the greatest cars I've ever owned.
Really?
The visibility was unbelievable. Yeah, right. The seat swung out when you got out of the driver's side. It just swung so you can just hop right off the seat onto the ground.
There's a lot of window in that car.
There's a lot of stuff going on with that car that was, it wasn't a dog when he drove it. It didn't handle like a pig. And I don't know whatever happened to it, but I never minded having the thing. It was nice.
That's interesting. I saw them on the road, and then I just thought they were the ugliest things I've ever seen.
They were pretty, if you like the bubbly look, it wasn't that ugly, and it was a better car than people gave it credit for.
It looks like an elephant stepped on the top, and everything just squirted out the sides.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's the ridicule you got for it.
They got a lot of people, but if you actually had one, you would have enjoyed it.
Mm. Anyway, back to the stocks. United Parcel Services up 18%, Honeywell up 17%, 92% for FVC Bancorp. John picked that back. In July of 2020, still an opportunity in my belief in the banking sector, which brings me to my pick for the week. And that is Silvergate Capital Corp. Now, this stock is down pretty significant recently. And one of the reasons is this is a lot. What they do is a tremendous amount of lending for the crypto space.
Interesting.
So there's a correlation that's going to be there, not to mention the fees that they collect is ridiculous. But there's a correlation there if, in fact, we see the cryptos move up or down. So this last move down has correlated very well with Silvergate Capital. Symbol SI, Silvergate Capital. So we're going to be buying that. We'll call it Bitcoin Bank Thesis or Finance.
I've got one. Twitter.
Oh. Why is that?
Because I think it's a buyout candidate, and I think it's up for grabs, and I think that's the reason they're starting to shift people around, and I think they're trying to gussy it up. And it's at 44, something like that, a share. It's already has a target price of 66. I think the capitalization is such that somebody's going to have to pay about $70 a share for it. It's a lot of money.
I like that. I do like it, especially because a lot of people think that.
And I think it will be probably a company like Salesforce. That would be a target company. And Google could also do it, but I think Salesforce is the candidate.
You don't think Microsoft would want that? They got cash and their stock is out of control.
It's possible. Actually, Microsoft's got too much money. It's possible that Microsoft could buy it. But I don't see them fitting as well with Microsoft as it would with Salesforce, unless Microsoft's got something else up its sleeve that we don't know about.
Why would Salesforce fit? They like
social networking. It's all, they can just draw everybody.
Yeah, but they own LinkedIn. So Microsoft owns LinkedIn.
Yeah, Microsoft does own LinkedIn.
It just seems to me that it would be an interesting.
Somebody's going to. It looks like a buyout candidate to me, and I think it's going to happen.
All right, I got it. Very nice. All right, very good. All right, let's end it there. And when we get back, we're going to be looking right into the gut of Christmas next week. So we're going to have that going on. And then one more show after that for the end of the year, and we have Ryan Radisky making our best of 2021 for DH Unplugged, which we'll be playing over the New Year's holiday.
Nice.
Pretty good. All right, I'll see you next week.
All right, see you then. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.